Welcome to The Tradar, a Traitors podcast, the show recapping and analysing, in great detail, every episode of English language versions of The Traitors, although sometimes we cover different languages as well. Of course, this season we have been visiting The Traitors New Zealand. I've been joined over the past 8 episodes by a slew of great co-hosts, and joining me for this penultimate episode is the perfect person to join me at this time. You will find out why. They are bringing their insight. They're bringing their very unique knowledge on the show. Let's find out who I am building up to. Kia ora, Bailey. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
How was my kia ora? Was it
it
okay?
It was pretty good, actually. Yeah, okay. Kia ora. Yeah, no, you did well. You did well. Good effort, and thank you for trying. It's so lovely.
Thanks. You have been on the pod before. More importantly, you have been on the show before. You are our Traitors New Zealand season 2. No spoiler, special player who is very important in the game. If you've not seen New Zealand season 2, well, you know, we'll maybe not spoil everything, but you should have watched it, and you should go and watch it and then come back to this podcast. So,
absolutely.
Bailey, how does it feel watching this season with a new cast back in that place that you were in? What's it like?
It's actually so crazy. It is, as soon as the cars pull up at the start, I was like, oh, fire. All the memories just like rushing back. And I'm really like excited for them. I'm also terrified for them. But it's also so fresh in that first day. And I just remember, obviously, we were pulling up to Paul, which was amazing. But yeah, it's so funny, like seeing them walk through that house, through the manor. And I'm like, I've sat on those couches. I've been in that room. I've eaten like in that space. Like, it's just so weird. But yeah, really cool, really cool. Kind of like sad that it was so long ago and it was all wrapped up now. Like it's so far gone. But I think it's also kind of nice to see, obviously, it happening again. And I think it kind of revives season 2 for a lot of people. And it's going to get a lot of people going back to season 2 and then watching season 3, which is awesome.
Yes, I really hope so. And you mentioned Paul there, who is your host. Now we've got Madeline. What do you think of Madeline? Did you know her already? Are you enjoying her on the season?
So I feel like I heard Jane mention in episode 1 that, like, yes, New Zealanders know her. We recognise her. Very much a comedian in a lot of real Kiwi stuff. I think she's great. I think Paul had the character down. Whereas I feel like her hosting style is very much kind of just a host. And I don't want to feel like I'm like bagging her. I think she's great, but I think Paul had the real charisma and leaned into that character. And I think they really wrote his lines to be that character, whereas they're not so much doing that for her, which I don't think is negative on her as such. I think it's more just the way they've written it this season for whatever reason. But I also think as we've gone on, she's like there's more of those funny lines and the kind of brutal humor which we had with Paul kind of from the get-go though.
Maybe she's being more herself and being funny, and Paul was like a bit more like Alan Cumming, maybe like playing a role.
Totally. And I think she's I feel like maybe they're setting her more up to be like Claudia Winkleman, a bit more kinder and a bit more like my babies, like I'm gonna look after you in this crazy game, whereas Paul was not that. He was like that behind the scenes, I have to say. Very much so, but definitely not on screen, obviously.
Very interesting perspective. Okay. Bailey, we are going to talk about episode 9 of this season today. Before we dive right into the main events and analyze everything going on, I've got a couple of listener notes and thoughts and voice messages. I'm going to start us off with a voice note from someone you will recognize. Let's hear that now.
Hi, Matthew. It's Jane. New Zealand Series 2 again. Always miss you when I'm walking my dog, because it's the time when I think about things like the traitors. Couple of things. Just listening to your episode 7 coverage, as always, loving it. Yeah, I think I've really missed a trick, because New Zealanders don't necessarily watch a lot of terrestrial TV or any TV, and I think they could get a lot more maybe watching if they shared it a lot more on Instagram. As you said, the Traitors New Zealand on Instagram don't do follow-ups. I think it's a real shame they didn't do the reveal to Dave. Like you say, there may well have been a reason, but it's just a couple of things that I really think they could do more of, and I think it would catch on a lot more here. More people would know about it and follow. I don't know, just my thoughts. Oh, and I forgot, there's one other thing I wanted to mention. That it's everybody on the internet, or not everybody, a lot of people saying, oh, how can they be so emotional and blah, blah, blah. And I just think, I have already mentioned it, but to reiterate that it is a game, yes, but when you are without any contact with the outside world, no phones, as a traitor in particular, you can feel like you're on your own, but even as a faithful, you can, if you're not in a particular clique. So I totally understand why people get emotional. I certainly did on my last day. And I think that people are way too quick to call people out for being emotional. And I say to those people that you apply and you go on it and see what it's like. Because honestly, you get yourself, it feels like real life when you're in there. And I think that's a really important distinction to make, is that, no, it's not real life. But until you've actually experienced the game, then I don't think you should judge so harshly. So there you go. Rant over. Bye.
Thank you so
I
much
totally
for that.
Agree.
Jane, here you go. your co-star, Jane. A couple of things there. So firstly, social media. I mentioned on the podcast before that it's a shame we don't get what some countries do, is where the eliminated players find out the truth about the traitors and we see the reaction. Yeah. And that's just not sort of really a thing in this season. It's not, they're not doing any of that online. Is that, would you like to see that, not, Bailey?
I would love that. And I think something like was it ITV?
In the UK, BBC.
That place, right? It is BBC, okay. Yeah, that BBC does so well is that. And there's obviously a massive budget with you guys. New Zealand does not have that. I think for our season, there was one social media guy who, like, we were all in contact with personally, you know? We don't have that level of production here. But I agree, if we did, there would hopefully be so much more buzz around it. And something I love about, obviously, the UK, I don't know about, other sort of places, but the UK, it's obviously such a buzz there, and it's like a countrywide, nationwide, everyone's watching, everyone's invested in it. New Zealand just doesn't have that. People are only watching if they know someone on it.
Right.
and so there's just not that level of the extra bits and bobs. They just can't do it. And it's such a shame, because I totally agree. It would create more buzz. And even this season, it initially got shown to me, you know, like, it's coming, season 3's coming. And then I think I couldn't watch it. And so I wasn't engaging with it because I didn't want spoilers. And it's completely vanished from my social media. Like, I now have to actively hunt it out. And I just don't think that would be the same for the, you know, BBC just spitting stuff out about it. Like, I see more of that stuff than I see of the New Zealand stuff. So we just don't have the budget, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, definitely.
It is.
Here in the UK, you will have it spoiled if you go anywhere near social media or turn on the radio or even, like, put on breakfast news. They'll have, like, the eliminated players the next morning doing interviews on TV. So, which is, I guess, annoying if you've not watched and you have to be really careful. But also, like you say, it's exciting that everybody's watching and everyone's talking about it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like Love Island, but for just a different crowd, I feel. Like, it has that same sort of hype, you know. And we were we weren't promised, but there was mention of radio interviews, you know, after the fact. Everything just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah.
That was a shame. Shame.
I am single-handedly doing my best to rectify that on
Yeah, good
the
job. Good job. Keep
So,
it up. Keep going, Matthew.
listen, New Zealand TV, Sky Productions, if you want to employ me next season, I'll stay up till midnight UK time. I'll make it happen. More than happy to do that. Jane also mentioned the emotional aspect of the show, something that I mean, as an outsider, I try and talk about on the podcast that there is a reason that people are crying all the time, and it doesn't make sense for viewers to be like, why are they always crying? It's so annoying how they're crying. Well, there must be a reason. If it happens in every season and everyone gets emotional and they cry, there's a reason for it. So I'm guessing, Bailey, you identify with that emotional aspect.
100%. The first season I ever watched, my mum put me onto it and I messaged her being like, why does everyone cry all the time? Like, this is insane. And we all got warnings before we went on from psychologist, the counselor, saying this is an intense environment. It's gonna be brutal. And even then, this was 2 days before I left. I was like, how hard could it be? Like, why? It's a game, people. It's a game. Like, this is fun. This is an experience. I think you're exhausted, regardless of what you're playing, because you're always thinking about what you're doing and you're thinking about what everyone else is doing. And your brain is working. All the cogs are working all the time. At least mine were. Probably didn't look like it, but they were. Because you are so hyper aware of what you're saying and trying not to say anything incorrect. And it's just really exhausting. Then you get paranoid, and they warned us all about this. And I didn't take that seriously. Whatever. I was so paranoid. You start seeing, like, obviously you're interacting with the production crew as well, you know, they're taking you places and whatnot. And then sometimes I'd be like, does everyone here know each other? And I'm the only one. It kind of felt Truman Show-esque of like everyone is in on this except for me. And then when you are playing it and you're getting things wrong, and then for me, I felt like I was genuinely the only person getting everything wrong every time. And then that just made me just, I was like, this is embarrassing. This is now going to go on TV. I'm embarrassed. So now I'm crying. Yeah, it's so much more than you could ever imagine. And yeah, even as someone who came in as a cynic, being like, why does everyone cry? You're going to cry regardless of who you are, you're going to cry.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense to me. So I hope
Yeah.
people like understand that a bit more as the seasons go on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got one final note actually from Jane that's it's so important. I have to include it right here in the podcast. Let's hear Jane's final thought.
Matthew, stop. Stop with the New Zealand accent. It sounds like an Australian accent. I mean, I can't do a New Zealand accent even though I live here. But I know that yours sounds like an Australian accent. You're going to alienate every Kiwi. So, tongue firmly in cheek. Stop!
Jane, I don't know what you're talking about. I think my accent's great. It probably does just sound Australian. However,
You know what? No, you start off really well. You start off, and I'm like, and then it turns a bit Australian at the end.
goes a bit Australian at the end.
It does. It's a little twang.
However, Jane, I feel like you're in the minority because I have an email from Isabel, who says, Kia ora from New Zealand. Love the podcast and especially love the Kiwi accent impersonations from Matthew. Thanks so much for all the rehashing from a bad bitch. And this is from Ali Rat on YouTube, says, love you doing the Kiwi accent, Matthew. So, look, Jane, the people have spoken. I may or may not give it a go in this episode at some point. There we go. A couple of, I did say that was the final thing, and then it's not really the final thing. I've got some listener predictions that I felt I wanted to read out and do these people justice in case their predictions end up coming true and they could look back and say, ha, Matthew read this out before it had even happened. This is an email from Stephen, and Stephen sent this before he had seen, I guess, this episode even. So, maybe after episode 7 or 8, Stephen sent me this. He says, I predict Chloe will win as a traitor. I agree Keanu will recruit Chloe. Then I think they'll murder Maria. And Stephen talks us through a long plan here. Hannah will go for Keanu and he'll be banished in episode 7. Yes, so Stephen must have sent this before that. This is the last time anyone can reveal if they're a traitor or not, and Keanu's revelation will shape the rest of the game. Violette will, finally and predictably incorrectly, decide Chloe's a faithful and back off her pursuit in episode 8. If Chloe's really clever, she'll establish a covenant with Violette and they'll go after the other players. At the final fire pit, Aaron, Violette, and Chloe will vote to end the game and Chloe will win. And then Stephen says, I could see an alternative version of the above where there's a covenant between Hannah and Chloe. They take everyone else out, Chloe wins. It almost certainly will not happen this way, as there's many a slip between the cup and the lip in this twisty game, but this is my dream outcome. And I have another prediction, I think, from Jackson, who sent a voice note. Jackson had also only seen up to maybe around episode 6 at this point, but I'm going to play Jackson's thoughts. And then we will get into episode 9. If you haven't seen Traitors Ireland, you may want to skip a little bit of the pod here. So jump ahead a minute or so because Jackson references Traitors Ireland, including a winner. There may be more than one winner. Maybe there's only one winner, but he references a player who wins. So I'm going to play that from Jackson.
Hello, TradeR Podcast. This is Jackson from Canada, and I just wanted to share some of my thoughts on New Zealand season 3 so far. So, I guess spoilers for Ireland season 1 coming up. If you haven't seen that season, maybe stop listening, or maybe Matthew can give a warning. But I'm getting major Ireland season 1 vibes from the season so far, with the traitors fighting in the first few episodes and having already two OG traitors banished. I'm getting those vibes. Based on that, I'm going to predict, maybe prematurely, but I'm still going to predict that the Faithfuls will end up winning this season. I don't think Keanu or James will win because I think they've shown Keanu being a little bit too confident, a little bit cocky, and I think he might last a little bit longer, but I think he'll eventually get banished. And we already saw that Maria clocked him. I mean, she clocked all three OG traitors, which is pretty impressive. Kind of like Oyen did on Ireland season 1, and she ended up winning, so we'll see if that happens for Maria, but pretty impressive nonetheless. Also, I have to just mention, why did Debbie vote her own son out? Why did Debbie vote for Harrison? Even if he was a traitor, he would obviously protect you till the end. So voting him out is just dumb. You're just giving up a huge advantage that production gave to you. But anyways, I'm still loving the season. I'm pulling for Samantha, Maria, Aaron, and Maria. Okay, thanks for all your traitors coverage. Bye.
Thanks, Jackson. So there we've got a prediction of a faithful win. Stephen's predicting a traitor win for Chloe. And Jackson mentioned something that I'll ask for your thoughts on. Jackson is a bit harsh on Debbie there. He said Debbie shouldn't have voted out Harrison because she had like a built-in ally there. So even if he was a traitor, she could have relied on him having her back towards the end and keeping her in longer. Well, I've got some thoughts on that. What do you think, Bailey?
Okay.
Should Debbie not have voted out Harrison for that reason?
No, I agree with Debbie. And she had said earlier that she thought Harrison might be a traitor. So I think she's wrapped up in, oh, I think he's a traitor, and I can sense other people are voting him out. So I'm gonna go with that. I think I'm right. And obviously it's probably absolutely heartbreaking for her when she realizes he's not a traitor. But I think, no, I don't think she did the wrong move there, because I think she can't, in the way that she knows the game, I don't think she's looking that far ahead to to him protecting her at the end. Maybe if she was playing any other way and she was very strategic, sure, maybe. But I think she did what Debbie needed to do.
Yeah, I'm in defense of Debbie here because, well, pretty much what you said. It might have been worse to look like you're not voting out a traitor. Like if she hadn't voted for him when it was quite a big majority, I think, at that round table. So
Yeah, I think
that might have
so.
raised questions. People saying, why did Debbie not vote for the person we all thought was the traitor? What's going on? Even though maybe then she would have been proved right. But might that have looked weird? Like, oh, how did she know that he was a faithful when we all thought he was a traitor? So
Yeah,
maybe it was more important to blend in and look like you'd figured out the truth and make people trust you more. So I'm not mad at
Totally.
Debbie for doing that at all. There we go.
No.
Okay, I think we're ready, Bailey. We're going to go into episode
Okay.
9 and find out
Yes.
what's happening as we come towards the end of this season. So, to remind us, for episode 8, with the help of that double vote dagger, James was banished, and Keanu had this blackmail choice. Looked like he was thinking of either Chloe, Maria, or Maruya. And Bailey, we could not have planned this better for you to be on this episode, which was not deliberate. I asked you to help me out weeks ago. You've joined
Yes.
us for a blackmail episode. Was this giving flashbacks?
I'm a pro on this. I have to say, when Chloe sits down and she reads the letter and she goes, every time I'm like summoned by the traitors, I just don't know whether to trust it. I was like, I feel you. I feel you, girl. Like, but yeah, it was funny. I feel like it was very expected that Keanu was going to pick Chloe. There was kind of no other real option that I saw happening.
David Bloomberg and I, my co-host, we both thought it would be Chloe, so
And I loved that there was no shock. There was no shock when she saw it was Keanu. It was just straight joy and excitement. And I feel like that is what the season for me has kind of been missing. I feel like this cast has come in with like, do you know what I love about them, first off, is that they are so representative of New Zealand, in that they are just chill, kind of low key. Like, no one's really standing out. And that's what I kind of love, because if you take just a bunch of people from New Zealand, that's mostly what you're going to get. Whereas I feel like season two was a bit more, you had a few more like characters, standing out. Whereas these guys are all kind of quite chill. But it felt like at the same time that no one really liked each other. And in this moment in the conclave, when they like, Keanu's revealed, I'm like, these guys like actually like each other, and they're friends, and they're excited, and it was a great moment.
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that. I about not knowing what the relationships are like between everybody. I sort of have assumed that they're all close because of how upset they get sometimes when they have to vote somebody out, like when they banished Harrison and some of, like, I think even maybe Aroha, like, because some of the players got so upset. I thought, oh God, yeah, they must all be really close. But a few listeners have sent in messages to me saying, I think they're editing out a lot of the relationships. Like, sometimes players will mention they're really close to someone, but we've not really seen that on screen.
So,
So there we
I do
go.
think that too. I think that's what happened with me and Donna. It was we were super close, but you didn't really see it, and people were like, really? Why do you care this much? But yeah, I do think that too. But I also think a lot of the energy coming in from the get-go was almost a lot less like kind of excitement and like joy. It was kind of like there was a lot of like sass from the get-go, and like as they're sitting in the cars driving in, and I know no one wants to get out for that first thing, and potentially go home. Everyone's scared, but there was a lot of kind of attitude from the start, and I was like, this is a bit odd.
I wonder if that's maybe something that happens as seasons of this show go on, that players aren't as green coming in, and because they've seen it and they've applied because they've watched different versions, they're coming in with more of a game playing attitude and they're gonna smash it and they've got a strategy in mind. Maybe that affects how they
I
start
totally thought
off treating
that.
one another. Interesting.
I was definitely thinking that, like, it's almost gone to that Survivor way where now you turn on Survivor and from day dot they're like alliances and all the gameplay and the strategy. Whereas, at the first seasons of everything, it's always like, oh, this is fun. This is new. What are we gonna do?
Right. Yeah, something going on there. I similarly loved this reaction from Chloe. They're just, she's elated. They're like jumping up and down and hugging each other. And it's, he doesn't even have to say, like, well, here's what happens if you don't accept. She's just like, I'm in, I'll be your traitor.
This is gonna be great. Let's do it. Oh, and but then he instantly lies to her. Instantly lies.
Yes.
And I was like, "Oh,
Yes.
girl, you
Lies
need to
about
like."
the death match. He said, he's like, oh, that was James. It was James that did it. Not me. And they even show a little flashback. Because I, for a moment, I thought, oh, yeah, maybe it was James. No, they show us the footage. It was Keanu.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, "Oh, was it? Was it?" And then I was like, "No, it wasn't." And then I'm thinking, I feel like I would have wanted, if I was her, I would have wanted a, like, play by play. What words did you have to use? How did you use them?
Yeah.
Who was saying what to who? Like, I would have wanted full description, but
Yeah.
that's
I
okay.
wonder if he just said something like, oh, we just had to write your names. But then they knew it was in plain sight. Yeah, I wonder how he explained
Yeah.
that. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to, I'll have to ask
Brushed over.
Keanu, come on the podcast, explain to me
Yeah.
exactly what you told Chloe. But I guess even she, I think there's a little moment of her in her interview or confessional saying she doesn't know if she could, like, if everything he's saying
Yes,
is true. So I think at least she's sort of being
She's got her
wary,
wits
like you
about her.
said. Yeah. Maybe it's the paranoia that you were talking about. She's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to
Truly,
think.
truly. As soon as you think
Yeah.
one thing, you know you should be also thinking the other. So you're in a
Yeah.
constant.
Right. And so they've got a murder to carry out, and their choices are Hannah, because they think, you know, she's a strong player, she's smart. They could maybe look like someone's done it to frame Chloe or Keanu, because Hannah is like sort of looking towards them now, so they could pull this double bluff sort of thing. They mention Maruya again, she's really clever, they think she's a strong player, but they then think that, well, maybe after tonight, we don't need to worry about her. She's not going to be as suspicious of us. Maybe we should actually keep her to the end. And they mention Maria. And by the way, I love the like B-roll, the bedroom shot of Maria. It's just her with this giant notepad, like taking her notes for the day of what's happened. Like, it made
This is so
me laugh
funny.
so much. Chloe thinks that they could keep Maria on side. Little does she know that Maria's very on to who the traitors may be. And Chloe says, well, no one really listens to her. Whoa, Chloe. I mean, maybe that's true in the castle. They should be listening to Maria, but maybe she is seen as a like a
Absolutely.
background player. And Chloe also says, I think she doesn't deserve to be in the final at this point. Ouch. Okay, Chloe.
Yes.
She's in
I'm
traitor
like,
mode already. She
I think Maria's actually got it right, but it's all one
Yes.
thing saying it in your interviews, but you have to put little breadcrumbs out so people actually know you're in the
Yeah.
game, you know?
Yeah.
It's tricky.
So they make the decision. I was pretty sure they were gonna murder Maria based on just that. So I thought,
Yes, same.
I think I know what's gonna happen here. We move to breakfast, and Keanu and Chloe arrive first, so they get a little bit more time for some strat chat. And Chloe reckons that they need to keep Aaron and Debbie around because they think, or she thinks they'll be easier to sway. Do you think
I
that, does
totally
that make
agree.
sense? Okay. Okay.
I'm with her. I'm 100% with her. You've got to keep those two till the end because they do. They just to and fro, and I feel like we'll see it again in this episode. Very easily swayed. I also want to mention, Chloe said she's a little bit annoyed because now that she's a traitor, and if they do banish her, she can't get up in the, at the round table and say, "Ha, you were wrong. I wasn't faithful." And
Yeah.
I had the exact same thought as soon as I was a traitor, and I was like, "I can't be banished now. Like, it would be too bad because."
Yeah, yeah.
I if I wasn't like obviously don't want to get murdered, but I was like the best exit apart from winning is standing up and being able to say you all got it wrong. I'm a faithful. I was like,
Yeah.
I'm so with Chloe on that.
Yeah. Sometimes I do think that when I watch the round tables and a faithful's been banished, and although I feel like I would be devastated, I would sort of be like, well, I'll show them and like wait till they find out the truth. Can't wait to see the
Exactly. It's like your final win in a moment where you have to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe that's just like a little bit of comfort there. But
Like...
Chloe, I guess, if she's banished, she's not going to get that. So as they're talking about Aaron and Debbie arrive, or so it seems in the edit. Yay. And Violette's there, who every morning she arrives is just like, what, how,
I'm back.
what the F am I doing here?
Yeah.
I did wonder here though, if, and they all laugh at it. They're like, oh my God, she does this every morning. I wonder if it might make her realize, well, here's what I was going to say. It might make Violette go, maybe I'm completely wrong. Like, why am I still here if I'm not getting murdered? Maybe me being obsessed with particular people is totally off track and I should
You would
change my
think so, right?
mind. But then at the same
Yeah.
time, she has been coming after Chloe, and now Chloe accidentally is a traitor, so she shouldn't change her mind. But she has more to say about
Yeah.
that as the episode goes on.
Yes.
They have a little joke about Debbie being happy that James is gone after their feud. And Keanu says this. Keanu is just brilliant TV, by the way, and several people have mentioned this to me. He, in his interview, has a moment of saying, he's talking about James, and he says, I just don't think he was born for this role like I was.
He's, in my opinion, he's the season three Joe. You know,
Yeah.
he's the charisma, he's the jokes, he's great. He's like the villain, but he actually is the villain, whereas Joe is just playing the fun villain. But
Yeah.
there, I know I love that line so much.
Yeah.
Poor James.
Keanu needs more reality TV work after this because he just provides so much to the camera. So
100%.
he, I hope he, something more comes of this for him.
Yeah.
We've now got actually Violette mentioning what I was gonna say a little earlier. She recognizes that even if she was wrong about Chloe before, she should probably still vote her out anyway because if there's been a recruitment, and they reckon there must have been a recruitment, surely Chloe's the one who's been recruited because she's the perfect scapegoat. So Violette's like, we should just vote for it. I should just keep going for it anyway, which I think is
Yeah.
smart. Like, that does make
I
sense to
agree.
me. So.
Yeah, I think this is the first point that she has made that actually has a bit of logic to it. She's the only one who is thinking, okay, if there was a recruitment, who would the traitors recruit and why? And she's actually got a person and she's got a good reason why. And I'm with her. I'm like, finally, there's logic. Like, she is on the money, obviously, but people should be jumping on that bandwagon because it makes
Yeah.
sense,
Yeah. And I
regardless of
guess,
who that other trader is.
yeah, sort of weirdly, her reasoning's wrong. Like, unless Keanu's been really devious, it's not actually why he picked Chloe. He picked her because she's his bestie and he wanted to get to the end with her. But Violette, thinking the way she's thinking, absolutely is logical and seems like the most obvious way to go. So, yeah.
Totally.
I've just realized something else that we've been talking all about what has just happened the night before, and they realize something.
Maybe someone's been recruited.
I don't know if that means anything to you, Bailey. Could you hear anything there?
I could, but who was
You look so confused. I thought, oh, Bailey didn't hear that. I'm gonna play. That was the real
someone.
audio. I'm now gonna play our remix of that.
Maybe someone's been recruited.
Oh, the celebrity one. Who was it? What's her face?
It's
Celia.
Kate Galloway. It's Kate. Kate
Oh no, it's
Galloway.
Kate. Oh my gosh, she was. I loved her. I loved
We like to
her.
use our
She
little
was such a
jingle.
sucker.
Anytime recruitment comes up now on the pod, I'd just like to do that. Thank you to Magicka for your remix of Kate Garraway. I just had to put that in there. Okay, so we're at breakfast. The three people that we thought were maybe going to be murdered are the three people who haven't come back yet. And Keanu's doing his best to fake it. And he goes, "Oh, I think it's Maruya." And I thought, okay, it's probably not going to be Maruya if he's pretending to think that way. So she's probably coming back. And then there's a knock on the door. Yes, Maruya enters, followed by Hannah, which means Maria is gone. And even though I reckoned that was going to happen, I'm sad. I like Maria. She was really funny. Maria, I interviewed her. She was on the pod over the past few days. So go check out Maria's interview. Yeah, sad she's no longer with us in the game. Hannah, though, is pretty worried now because she's like, well, Maria's like the person that I trusted the most, and what the hell am I going to do now that she's gone? We get our little flashback to Keanu explaining why they're going to go for Maria. And he's trying to do this double bluff thing. He's like, well, Maria vocally put heat on me yesterday. So actually, if we murder her, maybe it'll look like I wouldn't have done that if I was a traitor because it's too obvious, and I'll try and trick everybody that way. And we see Maria getting her letter. And then what's so upsetting is Maria's like, I think I was killed by Hannah to frame Keanu. No, Maria, you've been
You were
cheated.
right the
You were right the whole time.
I know. That was
So
so funny. That was so funny.
it's so upsetting when at the last minute someone changes their mind and you're like, no, don't change. It's too late. She's gone. And
It's
back at breakfast, Hannah's still lamenting her departure. And she implies in her interview clip that actually now she really does firmly suspect Keanu, and the murder of Maria just affirms that. Madeline arrives, gives them their little chat, gets them ready for the mission. How do you solve a problem like Maria? Apparently, you murder her in cold blood. And then tells them to pop on their Sunday best and prepare for crocodile tears because today we have a mission to attend to. We're off to church. Oh, and clean out your ears. You're gonna need them. And she leaves, and the players, I love when they guess what the mission's gonna be. It's like someone goes, "What does clean out your ears mean?" And Chloe's like, "We'll be listening to something."
Listening. Funny. It's
It's great.
so, oh, it's a good time. It's a good time as we're all just sitting there coming up with ideas. I remember those of like one was about you're gonna be locked in a box and something about underwater or whatever, the sound of waves, something like that. And we're all like, oh, we're not gonna be locked in a box underwater. We just thought like literally we were gonna be thrown in boxes like into the ocean. And I'm like, in hindsight, we should have known that this is just New Zealand traders. Like, there's no way they're actually truly
Maybe
risking
not
our
the
lives.
budget. It's not
Maybe in
Survivor, but
the
maybe could be a mission next
UK,
time.
though.
So it's time for a bit of reality around the manor. We see Hannah chatting to Chloe outside. She's trying to get her on board with ousting Keanu. Oh, little does she's talking to the wrong person about this.
No,
And
poor Hannah.
she her reason or one of her reasons is she thinks that Keanu's behavior at the round table was just doesn't make sense because he last night randomly voted for Hannah and sort of laughed it off, like, oh, I don't really think it's you, but he was saying like, I'm a bit scared of you coming for me or something. And Hannah's like, this just makes no sense. Why did he suddenly vote for me and pretend he's worried about me? This isn't right. So Chloe now has got a bit of a, I mean, she had the challenge as soon as she accepted being a traitor, but she's like, what do I do now? Like, Hannah
What
trusts
do
me. Maybe I should just think about getting Hannah on my side. And she's not above, she's implying that she is not above turning on Keanu if she really has to do it to save herself, which I think is absolutely fair for a traitor
Totally.
to do. Like,
Totally. I respect her for that.
Yeah.
I just felt, I feel so sorry for Hannah. Like she is probably the smartest person in the game at this point. The thing
Yeah.
is, though, when you're watching it, we're all saying she's the smartest player because we're hearing everything. She doesn't feel like the smartest player in that moment. Like,
Yeah.
Hannah is so, they are all so confused, right? All the faithfuls are confused. I don't think anyone truly feels like they're smart because they don't know. And
Yeah.
we're saying they're the smartest person. We're saying they're on the money. And then like Maria, right? She was on it the whole time, and literally she changes her mind in that last second for whatever reason.
Yeah.
She's decided it was her last alliance person, you know, who's murdered her. So yeah, I feel for Hannah a lot, and then Chloe's now obviously in the midst of it, and I hope that Chloe turns on Keanu.
Yeah.
I hope that she, you know, can outplay him.
Yeah. And it's so interesting what you're saying there, that it's easy for us as a viewer to say, oh, they're the smartest player because we know they've got it right, but they don't know they've got it right. And so often in the turret, we hear the traitors talk about who they want to murder, and they'll often say, oh, we need to get rid of that person. They're so smart. This person's such a strong player. And as a viewer, quite often I'm like, why do they think that person's the smart one? Like, why do they think that's their impression of who the smart, strong players are often don't align with ours? But yeah, it makes sense. We have got a totally different perspective because we know the truth. And quite often, like, I interviewed Debbie from the show last week and was on the pod, and on the show, it felt like Debbie was very randomly voting for people in a strange way. But then Debbie explained, look, no, here's the I did have reasons every time for those people, and here's why. And you sort of go, oh, okay, like that just doesn't come across. And we don't get to, we can't see everybody's reason for everything. You just can't fit it all in. So,
You
yeah,
absolutely can't.
it's an interesting one to think about.
Yeah, and I think just on that, I just think in the team playing, when you're in it, I think people respect and label the smart people as the kind of loud vocal ones. Whether they're right or wrong, if they're happy to lead the group and people are listening to them, that they are labeled the smart players. Whether, they're gunning for the right people or not.
We see Violette talking to Keanu, Debbie, and Maruya about her theory again about Chloe. Like, even if she wasn't a traitor already, she probably is one now. And Debbie and Maruya seem to be agreeing with that. And so, but by the way, throughout this whole episode, every 5 minutes, I changed my mind about what was going to happen at the end of the episode. So, like, 5 minutes ago, I was like, okay, Keanu's going, Chloe's going to turn on him. And then here, I'm like, Chloe's going, Chloe's, they're all going to figure out it's Chloe and go along with Violet. I did, which is great. Like, I like that. I want to not know really where it's going. But yeah, I was all over the place in this episode with my predictions. And they even include Maruya literally saying, she's gone tonight. And then I thought, wait a minute, they wouldn't include her saying that if she was going to go tonight. So maybe she's not going to go tonight. That's too obvious. No, I'm back to Keanu. Keanu's go like so I just kept
The editors
keeping all
are
the
double
time.
bluffing now too. Everyone's double
Absolutely.
bluffing.
Yeah. The editors are the traitors and we are the faithful, actually. That's the whole trick of it all. Like, we don't know
It's the
what
whole
the
thing's
hell's
the
going on.
Truman Show. I'm telling you, like we're all just in
Absolutely. And next
it.
we're in the cars because we're heading off to the mission. Hannah and Violet discuss their nerves at this stage in the game. It's really difficult to even enjoy it at this point because like you said, they're so paranoid. Like, and now it's not even fun being here. Like, I don't know who to look at. I'm second guessing everything, which I'm guessing might ring true with you towards the end of the game. It's just hideous.
Honestly, so I looked in my little, I've got literally my diary here that I wrote traders, all my traders notes are in this diary,
Oh,
from when I was there. And I've just been writing notes about this episode in here. And I just read like an entry, and it was, I think it was day 10, and that was out of our 12 days. And it was like, at breakfast, Joe said, we've got to just enjoy it today. And we did. We had the best day and we all laughed so hard. And And it was really, I remember it being so nice. And we just actually tried to fully enjoy it and then play the game, at the round table. But the rest of the day was just enjoying each other's company. And then the next 2 days were horrid, like feeling sick, especially the last day. But I just think I woke up feeling ill. And, at that point, there's not many people left. So you're getting like driven alone by like the production team, and you're spending a lot of time alone. And just so many, I had production team just holding my hand at different points while I just cried. And they're like, Bailey, it's almost over. Like, just a few more hours and you'll be home. Please, the day to
Oh,
be
that's.
done. It's awful. Yeah.
See, it all sounds so exciting from the outside, but we don't realize it could be
No.
pretty
Brutal.
uncomfortable a lot of the time.
Yeah. Good word.
There's not much more on the cars. We arrive at the mission pretty quickly. We're in a church and Madeline is here. She's in mourning. If anyone has seen the film Death Becomes Her with Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn, this is 100% what this was reminding me of. And the portraits of the murdered players are lined up on the altar, and there are seven items laid out on a table in front of Madeline. They have to match the items to the shrines of the dead. If they match up correctly, they'll get $1,350. Again, I've talked about this before in the podcast. Very strange amounts, very like weirdly
Very odd.
specific. Don't know what's going on there. And Madeline tells them, oh, there's just one other thing. Cue these wailing widows in black. It's quite creepy. Like, it's weird.
It did make me laugh. I wrote, as I was taking my notes, I wrote, the little moaning mourner ladies came out. They were so odd.
It was.
I would have just been sitting there laughing.
And Madeline explains what's going to happen. They can't touch the mourners and they can't be touched by them. If it does happen by accident, they're eliminated. They're out. And how might that happen? Oh, they're going to be blindfolded one by one and take their go. So the mission begins. Debbie volunteers to start us off. They. I was
Hey.
expecting a lot more. Like they just I thought there were going to be like riddles and cryptic clues about what item match what pair. No, they just point at a hat and go, that's Maria's. Okay, that's Maria.
Take
Like,
it.
oh, that was
Oh,
it.
here's Janaya's nose ring. Was that what it was? I was like, oh, yes. Like, I would not be
Was just
taking
a
that one.
Was it a nose ring? I thought it was just a normal ring, but even still, I was like,
No,
oh,
there was a nose ring. There was
it was a
Dave's
nose
ring, I
ring.
think. And I
Wow.
was like,
Okay, there we go. So yeah, it just made me laugh that it was just point at an object and go, oh, that's this person. Okay. So anyway, on the
I
blindfolds
just love
go.
that like production will be like, oh, can we just have Elliot, could we have your board shorts, please? And we'll just
Right.
post them back after we do this mission. Like, it's so
Yes.
random.
I couldn't quite figure this out, especially when it gets to like Mike's glasses. I'm like,
I was like, there
okay,
can't
first of
be.
all, I was
Can
like,
you
well, that
see?
can't be his glasses. But then
Yeah.
I was like, well, how did the players know that they're his? Because like at least one other person had glasses who's like Rachel wore glasses. So I'm like, I don't know. I thought way too much about this. I was like, how do they know that these aren't Rachel's? How are they so confident that a pair of very ordinary looking glasses are Mike's? I don't know. Maybe it was the only thing left. Process of elimination. Who knows?
Desperate. Yeah.
They get through this mission mostly by deciding that Keanu's got the loudest voice, so he should be the navigator. I don't know if there's a
Fair.
time limit. They probably don't need it. I think this is probably quite a quick mission. It doesn't take long to walk up there. Maybe that's pointless. Yeah, the mourners move around. On it
I thought
goes.
they'd be in a different configuration each person, but it didn't seem to be. Right? It just seemed like the exact same. So I'm like, surely if you've now seen the five people go before you, you could probably do it without someone telling you where to go because it's not changing.
Yeah,
That was
who
odd.
knows? Who knows? Debbie is successful with Maria's hat. And yeah, I had the same note that when Maria's got Elliot shorts. I'm like, how did that conversation go when he was leaving? So I don't know. She fails, sadly. Chloe's got Rachel's beanie. She's successful. Yes, Hannah's got Janaya's nose ring. I've like written it down and then forgotten it. I swore that when they said Janaya's nose ring, they said Shania's. And I was like, Shania Twain's left her nose ring? Like, that's worth more than
Wow,
$1,000. Like, that's
the
price the budget on this one. Shania Twain has a nose ring. Anyway, then I was like, oh no, it's Janaya. And Hannah succeeds. Aaron has like a, I think it's like a hair clip or something from
Yeah, was
Sam.
that Sam's little, yeah, little hair
Little,
clip,
yeah.
little flower.
He's
Yeah.
successful.
Yeah,
Violet's like, most of them do it. Keanu goes last. Aaron's directing him. He's got Mike's glasses, and yeah, I was like, they cannot be Mike's glasses. This, what is going
Mike
on?
just can't see. Mike had to fly home, go straight to
Like,
the Specsavers, get
yeah,
some new glasses. Craziness,
who
craziness.
knows? The mission ends, and they've raised $8,100. That's an awful lot for one mission, and seems like it wasn't
Very good.
too much of a challenge to get it, so that's nice.
Yeah.
They head back in the cars, and Maruya suggests to her car, that's Keanu, Chloe, and Aaron, that Hannah has seemed a bit different today. She's a bit quieter, she's low. We kind of know why, like she told us, and she told some of them, like she was sad about
Yes.
Maria, but they
But
all
Hannah, this is
just
not the
go
time
along
to
with
change your
it.
energy. It's not
No,
the time, Hannah.
Hannah,
Of any
no,
day, today is not
yeah.
the day. You have to put on your smile,
Right.
droop on.
Yeah. And again, here I changed my mind about what was going to happen. I was like, oh no, it's Hannah's going to go. It's not Keanu. It's not Chloe. Hannah's in trouble. And obviously, two of the traitors were in the car when Maruya was saying this. So they're going to be like, yeah, she really has changed. Oh my God. So that's a perfect thing for them to grab onto. They
Yes.
arrive back at the manor. And yeah, Keanu, his plan is to absolutely just go for Hannah tonight. But there is a problem because if she does get banished and reveals that she's a faithful, then maybe it's just putting Chloe off for one more night. He thinks, well, she's going to get banished tomorrow. Like, is that really solving a problem? And so our two traitors have a little moment alone. They get to quickly whisper about the plan, what they're going to do. Are they going to go for Hannah? And Keanu's like, yeah. Aaron's going to do it. Maruya's going to do it. That's what we should go for. And meanwhile, Hannah is reiterating to Maruya and Violet that she's probably going to go for Keanu tonight. And it looks like, now I don't know if this is real. It looks like Keanu is inside at the window and he's like eavesdropping. I don't know if he actually heard them or if he just saw them out there. It was like, oh, I'm going to go and join them. They've made it look like he caught them
Yeah.
talking about him. I don't
Yes.
know.
I don't think so. I don't
Yeah,
think so. I
probably
think
not.
it's crazy how much they, yeah, you're actually not that far apart on that. Like, there's like the veranda at the front of the deck, and you're actually
Yeah.
not, from memory, you're not a huge like distance apart, but you do feel like you can have a safe conversation if you are at either end. So even when people are kind of close, obviously the mics are really crisp and clear.
Yeah.
They're getting people good. You're not a, they're not talking as loud as, yeah, you think they are, as the shots
Yeah.
of Keanu like lurking around the house.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually. I sort of maybe haven't ever mentioned that specifically, that quite often on the show we'll say, how did one person not hear that other person say that? Oh my God, they said it right beside them. But you're right, like we're being a bit tricked by microphones picking up on everything, and actually in reality
Totally.
there's probably all sorts of other noises and you can't
Totally.
really
Like the
hear.
breakfast room. Yeah, the breakfast room is a good kind of example of that. Like obviously when there's more people still in the game, a lot you can hear like other people faintly in the background because the microphone's caught them and they can't remove them, but they've obviously boosted this conversation of this person leaning across here, but you're not hearing the six other conversations everyone's having.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Keanu, whether he heard them or not, but goes out to join them and pulls Maruya aside for a little chat. She's telling us in an interview that she's really torn. She
Yeah.
has sussed that Keanu is probably a traitor, but she doesn't want to let that on just yet. So she's telling him in
Yep.
person, I was suspicious of you, but not anymore. So she's I think doing the smart thing,
She's playing
like
it. I
keep him.
yes. Yes. I think she is.
Yeah,
To a
she's
degree.
thinking about the end game. She's trying to have a
Yes.
traitor angel. And actually, I was going to
Yes.
ask you, Bailey, if you were aware, was that something happening in your game that players, and even when you were a faithful, did you suss that someone might be a traitor and therefore try and get close to them and keep on their good
No.
side?
No, that was not part of my strategy. Well, okay. In saying that, so first day we had Terry, who was next to me at the round table, and he instantly was like, "It's Jane," and I was like, "I'm with you." And there was like a few of us saying, "It's Jane, it's Jane," and Terry, but Terry was gunning for it. And then obviously at the last second, there was a bit of a switcheroo, and I kind of decided Terry feels a bit dodgy here. Jane still feels very dodgy, but Jane had already got that little bubble with her. And I was like, I think I'm gonna go with this little bubble because it had like Ben and Bree, Molly, kind of like the young people, and I like them. I was like, I'm gonna go jump in with this crowd instead of the guy who's being super vocal, even though I agree with him and I don't trust Jane. But I'm gonna jump on board and feel a bit safer. But I never thought of like the traitor angel thing. Like I know Andrew had with Jackie in our season, and then Ben had with Jane, and the whole I'm gonna keep them around. As soon as I kind of thought someone was a traitor, I was like, I want to try find other people who might also believe this, so we can actually try get them out.
And I guess it worked out pretty well for you, so
Worked out
hey.
pretty well. Look,
Well.
this game and watching this season, I'm like, this game is 99% luck and chance, and like, and for everyone, because as well as people think they're playing it, as well as viewers think people are playing it, like I said before, the people in the game don't know if they're right or wrong. And it's totally chance, it's totally who what the conversations change so quickly, as we've seen in this episode. Like,
Yes.
you think it's gonna be Keanu, and then you think it's gonna be Chloe. Now we think it's gonna be Hannah. Like, it changes so fast, and everyone's playing such a different game. And it's all totally chance. Then there's, the tiebreakers, then there's the dagger, and then there's everything. There's everything. It's all chance. Maybe just that
Yes.
1% of
Of
maybe a bit of strategy.
strategy and just a little.
Yeah. Just a little touch.
It's time for the round table then. And so we've got some voiceovers coming in that make it pretty clear it's going to be like Hannah versus Keanu tonight. That's where it's going. And even Hannah and Keanu themselves know this. Like they're prepared for that going in. They sit down, Madeline comes in. Weirdly, the prize fund is $60,000 exactly now. And I'm like, wait a minute. Were all those really random prize amounts in the missions all part of an elaborate plan to make it come up to this perfectly round number? Like, it absolutely wasn't, but I did have that thought.
Fair call.
And Madeline tells them that they need to consider everyone, then consider them again, interrogate everyone, stay cold, stay ruthless, make this one count. And so the discussion opens. Violette starts immediately with her theory about Chloe and how they should probably just vote for her because she's likely to be one a traitor now, even if she wasn't before. Chloe just straight up does what she has to do and just denies it. She's like, she's like, I get the theory, I understand it. I don't even under like I think Chloe does a really good job of just acting and just she's like, I would have picked me. I don't know why I wasn't recruited. So I don't know what else Chloe
Literally.
could have done there because it is like an obvious thing that someone was going to bring up maybe. So yeah, she just is like, I don't know what to say. It's not me. Like I get why you think that. And
I think that was
And
really cool. It was a really good back and forth. They were both like Violet finally had a logical thing that made sense, and
yeah.
she said it well. Like she has spoken well, even though what she's saying is wrong. Like she speaks with conviction, right?
Yeah.
And I think she spoke really well, but Chloe rebutted really, really well. And I really liked that little back and forth. I think it was really good.
Yeah.
It was kind of felt productive in a way.
Right. Sometimes, particularly me, and maybe this is the edit, but I felt like when Jane was banished, not Jane, Jill was banished earlier this season, at her roundtable, she's sort of, I don't know, kind of ex almost accept, like people are throwing all these accusations at her, and she sort of looked a bit flummoxed and fluttered and didn't really know how to respond and didn't maybe defend herself enough. Whereas Chloe is really good at just sort of almost laughing it off and being like, well, like, I don't know what to say. And instead of
I'm
just sort
with
of being
you.
silent or so I think it worked well.
And what she said was really good. Back to Violet was like, your point, you were so passionate about Harrison, and then you were wrong about these other things, and you're just coming for me really for vengeance because
Yeah.
of your mate coming
Yeah.
on. Like she had really good points, solid points. But yeah, like you say about Jill looked deflated, and Jill reminded me so much of like Whitney from our season. She was kind of like Whitney and Jane put together.
Yeah.
And Whitney was the same, I think, in the end, like quite deflated. And like that, Jill just brought back the memories. It really looked like she was like, kind of like, well, yeah, I am a traitor. You're right. Like, can't do
Yeah,
much.
yeah. So, I mean, maybe it helps Chloe that she it's her first round table as a traitor, so she's sort of not exhausted by it in a way. Like she's sort of fresh to it. Whereas maybe if you've been a traitor, I mean, Keanu's done an amazing job, but if you'd been a traitor this whole time, like, and people had repeatedly been coming for you, like at some point you probably do just go, oh my God, I can't keep this up anymore. But Chloe doesn't have to do that. Like she's like, no, it's my first day, like I'm gonna do my best. She's got energy.
And she's played
And
as a faithful, right, for so long that was like, for me, I'd already played half the game as a faithful. Sorry, spoilers. Then it's like, well, I'll just keep doing. I'm just gonna do right now what I would have done yesterday,
yeah.
and that's say, I agree with you. I thought about it too, and yes, I would have been the best pick for a recruitment. I'm telling you, it's not me. Like,
Yeah.
I get
Yeah.
it. I get it.
So, Keanu speaks up next just to defend himself before anyone can come at him, which they're going to do at some point, surely. And he talks about how he uses emotion really well. He's talking about Harrison. He's like, I could never have acted that upset when Harrison left. It was because I was the faithful and I was having to vote for someone that I was close to. I couldn't have pretended that. And then
I
he
don't
turns to
believe
Hannah.
this. I think if you have got, like, if everyone's sitting there going, Keanu's the most charismatic person I've ever met, he's an actor. Like, he's an actor.
Yeah.
Charismatic people like that can act. I just, maybe I'm traumatized from my season where every second person was an actor. I'm just like, of course they all are. But I just think charisma, to me, it's like hand in hand with someone who can act and put on a show, right?
Right.
So when someone's saying, I'm not an actor, but everyone else is like, you're so charismatic, I'd be sitting there doubting it
Yeah,
personally.
yeah. Yeah, but for now, it seems like they're sort of
They're buying
on
it.
board. They're buying it. He turns to Hannah and he's claiming that he thinks she was recruited last night and falls back on what Maruya conveniently brought up earlier, that she's acting differently today. And yeah, Maruya backs that up. So does Aaron. And Aaron reminds them of. He reminds them of something that Hannah said a few nights ago. And I'm sort of. I get it. He's like, Hannah, you had this really weird thing a few nights ago where that you accused me, Aaron, of being a traitor and that I murdered Janaya because I didn't want someone else who was really good at emissions. I also thought, like, I discussed this on the podcast. I did think it was a bit of a weird argument from Hannah when she brought that up. So I get why Aaron is also like, yeah, that was bizarre. And so that makes me suspicious of you.
I agree, but I also, at the time when Hannah brought it up, I thought, you're going for anything here. People are clutching at anything. And you know what? She's come up with a theory because you've got to come up with
You've got,
something. Did it make a lot of sense? No. But a lot of the game doesn't.
But Hannah, next, I love this next couple of minutes of Hannah. Her defense is actually to just kind of go into attack mode. I was so impressed with her.
Same.
Even though it just doesn't work. I really thought she was going to turn it around. She's like,
I
I'm more
know.
convinced than ever that Keanu, it's you. You're a traitor. She explains why she had a low mood today because of Maria. And she reminds them, well, Keanu, you told, sorry, Maria told you yesterday that, oh, sorry, no, I'm mixing up all my people. Hannah says, I, Hannah, told you and Violet yesterday in the car, you were both high on my suspect list. I talked about this on the podcast. We thought that was quite risky. But Hannah's like, isn't it weird that the day I said that to you then suddenly voted for me at the round table? Very bizarrely, and saying that you were scared of me. I don't buy it. I don't think you're scared of anyone, Keanu. And she says, it's giving James and
I
Debbie 2.0, but slightly less.
Just slightly less though.
I was like laughing so
No.
much at this. I was obsessed. No, this is not, I love Keanu as well. I just was obsessed with this takedown of Keanu. Hannah is just so fantastic here. She keeps going. Like, Keanu's like, well, that's your opinion. And Hannah goes, hold on, I'm not finished, darling.
She's a savage, and it's the best monologue of the season. Like, I just bravo to Hannah because she
Love.
went for it and she spoke so well. Like,
Yes.
she just spoke so well and she had the best points and she was coming for Keanu and yeah, I
Yeah,
won't say
she
any
goes
more for
on. She's
now, but
got, she, yeah, she's got more. She says, Keanu, oh, she says, Maria openly suspected you. Conveniently now, Maria's gone. Doesn't that imply something? Suddenly, Keanu, you're coming for me. You're pretending that I've set you up. And they get into a bit of an argument then about the way Keanu's behaving, and he's like, she's saying, oh, isn't it weird that you suddenly shifted on me? And he's like, no, that's not weird. That's not, I haven't changed. That's not a big shift. But while they're arguing at this point, Madeline swoops in to close the discussion. And
There's been
again,
some timings with that this season that I've thought were very
very
suspicious.
abrupt. Yeah. And
It's always at the perfect time. Whereas I just remember in my season being like, okay, people like talk fast because we don't know how long we have. And then I feel like Paul always came in at almost the perfect point where it was kind of like, okay, and that's enough. Everyone got their points out. Whereas this feels like I'm like, no. I still want to hear these other people's opinions.
I wonder
It's
if
odd.
they think that it's more like producers think it's more intense to see a tense conversation cut off and like they're not allowed to sit. I don't know if they've decided that's more exciting. I'm not sure. But yeah, Madeline definitely has ended a lot of round tables this season, if not all of them, like mid argument or
Yeah,
like mid.
midpoint.
So
It's
there must,
odd.
I mean, it must be a deliberate decision. And while they're all
Mm.
writing their votes down, we hear Chloe in voiceover again talking about how torn she is because maybe she should vote for Keanu, that might appease the faithful. Get one out. Act like you spotted a traitor and you did the right thing. So we don't know what she's going to do, but actually Chloe is the first one who has to reveal her vote, and this is really interesting. So I'll go through the votes and then I'm going to come back to talk about Chloe separately. So because there's quite a few things to say, I think she votes for Violet, and I was like, what? Where did that come from? What a weird swing. But in retrospect, I think it was really smart, and I'll come back and talk about that. And they talk about it later as well.
Yep.
Keanu's next. Does this thing where he pretends that he's voted for Maruya, and I was like, oh, what? But no, he was kidding. He votes for Hannah, like we knew he was going to vote for Hannah. Aaron also votes for Hannah, says that he trusts her the least out of everyone here. Debbie votes for Hannah. She thinks that she was aligned with James, and of course now we know that James was a traitor and Debbie's mortal enemy, and Hannah is obviously going to vote for Keanu. So there's only two votes left.
Yes.
It's Maruya and Violette. They would both need to vote for Keanu to even make this a tie. So it seemed inevitable. They both vote for Hannah, and Hannah's gone.
It's
so frustrating. And it really reminded me
Such
of,
a shame.
This is kind of a spoiler for a previous season. I'm going to talk about Australia season two. That was like 2 or 3 years ago. So if you've not seen it, skip ahead. It reminded me of Annabelle in Australia, who, like, at the round table just went, like, she was so accurate. Like, she knew who the traitors were. She knew it was Sam. I think she also knew it was Blake. But she was like, I'm in trouble. So here's the truth. Here's my point. Here's my point. Here's my point. She was perfect. She was so on it. And all the faithful just were like, no. They just, like, voted completely the opposite way, and Annabelle ends up banished and she's a faithful, and it's just like so frustrating as a view. So it's happening to Hannah, like out she's going. She says there's no hard feelings, but tells them a little story. She says, for her 30th birthday I played a 4-day game of the traitors with my family and I won. Hannah, come and play our online traitors game, and that's why getting to spend my birthday this year playing was so special as a faithful. It's like a mic drop moment. Boom, off she goes.
So good.
And they're all just sort of left speechless. Madeline points
it's
out
just
the
silence.
Obvious. Yeah. Just like, oh.
There wasn't even like a, oh. It was just nothing. It was just, oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, we've messed up. We have nothing to say about this. And obviously Madeline reminds them, well, you know, some of you are pretending to be upset. And she tells them that the traitors will meet one final time tonight and the end game is nigh. So they leave, they have a bit of debrief before bedtime. Maruya congratulates Keanu and she's like, oh, you slayed it. Immediately then telling us, I don't think he slayed it.
I love her.
Yeah,
I
she's
love
great.
Her so much.
She's on to him. She's seen the cracks in his armor. She knows he's probably a traitor, but she's not going to let him know that just yet. She thought it was worth it to sacrifice Hannah. So now I'm going in another direction.
Why?
I was like, oh, I'm like, Maruya's going to win. That they're leading us for a Maruya win. That's what I was thinking here. Like, oh, I was so like, I'm seeing where this is maybe going now, and other players are all discussing how they still are like, but Hannah changed. She changed today. Why did she change? Why was she so different? That's why we did it.
Yeah.
And
I think if she could have just held it together for that day, I wonder if it would have changed things. I really hope it would have.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
well,
can't do
know.
Anything about it now, but
And so it's midnight. We hear the chimes. Everybody leaves with Violette reminding us in an interview clip that still there's just no way she could go to the end of the game with Chloe. Like, she just couldn't see herself trusting her if she makes it to the end game. And so we have our turret, our final turret. Keanu is telling us, he's made it all the way to the final. Now he needs to figure out what to do to just win and use this last murder effectively. I sort of had I don't know why, but I thought there wouldn't be a murder. I guess it depends on the numbers. Sometimes they don't murder going into the last day, but then maybe if there's too many people still in the game, they try and narrow it down a little bit more.
Have to whittle it down.
It always seems to play out differently, depending on how many people are left. And so Keanu and Chloe meet up, and they talk about this vote, about Chloe's vote for Violette at the round table. And they are like, oh, that was genius. And even though, I don't know what you think, even though at the time I was like, what? Why is she voting for her? Actually, I do think it was smart because I think it ties in with what we said at the start of the round table about Chloe. I think it sort of helped just continue her image as a clueless faithful, that she was just like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know who the traitors are, so I'm just gonna go for you, lol. Like, it also avoided her. It meant she didn't have to vote for Keanu, and then Keanu doesn't get banished, and then it's really awkward in the turret, so she's avoiding that. And I thought maybe she was trying to save Hannah for the next banishment, if she thought Hannah was gonna.
Or she just didn't want to contribute to getting Hannah out. Now, as a traitor, knowing she's a faithful, you don't want to contribute to that. If that was, I do get that. I did do that. I would do that. When I knew people were legit and I think they've got a rough time, I didn't want to be the not nail in the coffin. I don't know if my votes would have been, but I didn't want to contribute to it. And then I think it also does add to your, I don't know what's going on. Like, at the
Yeah,
moment, I'm frazzled.
she gets to say after the reveal, like, well, I didn't vote for her. Like, I didn't think it was her. So,
And did she say, has she said at one point she trusted Hannah? I know.
I think they, I mean, they had a
Maybe.
little
Or
moment
Hannah maybe trusted
together,
them. Yeah.
and Hannah was saying, Hannah was saying, I think it's Keanu. So Chloe was like, oh God, what do I do? Because I think Hannah really trusts
Yeah.
me, and maybe she should be my ally to the end. So,
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that was the reasoning. And I agree now that I do think that makes a bit more sense. Because at the time too, I was like, oh, okay. But I'm
maybe she
also,
was.
I just don't think, why did Violet vote for Hannah? It just, she jumped on the bandwagon when she was gunning for Chloe.
I know. I
And
think
she
maybe
was
she
not
just
giving up until
realized.
Chloe's.
I guess she just thought no one else is going for Chloe, so there's no point. I'll do it next time if I'm still here
And we
next
got
time.
Aaron and Debbie seem to just do the same thing. They're swayed. I guess Aaron had the reasoning of Hannah's random Janiyah athlete theory. But Debbie, I'd love to know Debbie's reasoning.
Yeah, I guess. I guess
Attitude
Debbie's really
change.
close to Keanu, so
Is
maybe,
she?
yeah. They get there was that night when after the James fight, like Keanu was like hugging
Yes,
Debbie and he was like, "I
true.
told you you're a boss bitch," like, and like
I
he's like.
did forget about that.
So there's been a few times they've
That was so
been
sweet.
like
Yeah,
they've hugged a lot,
okay.
and so I think they get on very well, and like
Those
Debbie
two
talked.
need to open their eyes and see who's influencing
Oh yeah,
all of
so
this,
maybe,
just like Hannah said.
right? Exactly. So I think Debbie just sort of went with Keanu today. Like, I trust if I'm going to go for one, I'm going to go for the guy that I get on really well with and has been really, like, I've been really close to, and it's
Man.
not the last round table yet, so I'll just go with him now and then see what happens. So I don't know.
Crazy.
They have their final murder decision to make. And they start off with Aaron, and they just say that they need to turn the faithful against one another and get down to final three. And they add in that Aaron is sort of a confirmed faithful along with Violette, so like he's not going to get banished. So maybe we just need to get rid of him now. There's no point in thinking that he's going to get banished and eliminated any other way. Chloe's not really into it. She thinks Aaron
No.
actually is easy to sway and that he would be useful to keep around. They
I
mentioned
agree
that
with
last time as
Chloe.
well. They talk about Maruya again, same as before. She's a strong player. They think that Chloe's high on Maruya's suspect list, so maybe they should get rid of her. And she's also kind of a confirmed faithful. She's never had a single vote at the round table. That's why Keanu made that little joke tonight. He was like, well, I couldn't let you all the way through the game without one vote. So that
Truth.
suggests no one looks at Maruya as a suspect, so maybe they're gonna have to murder her. Is there someone else that they talk about? That feels like they only talk about two people. Oh yes, and then they should just murder her because they could do the I've been framed, like they could say, Chloe could say the next day, well, I voted for her last night, so oh, isn't it so convenient she's now been murdered? Clearly, I'm being framed here. Yeah, so
Yeah,
that
she's
they
been
started
coming
all
for
the fire.
me.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the three choices. They make the decision, and Chloe tells us, whoever I murder, eyes are on me anyway. Might as well do something fun and different. So, I just made a little note to myself here that Chloe is so good, like Keanu and the MIVs, the interviews. Like, she's great in confessional. I'm like, she should have been a traitor all along. She's really funny and like not funny, but also just like quite energetic, and she's providing good two camera pieces. So
She's got a bit of
she's
sass to her. She's got, yeah, I
exactly.
like it.
And so the episode ends here. Now, before we make our predictions, Bailey, about what may happen and how it's all going to end and who's going to be murdered for the final time, could you give us a little reminder of your Instagram handle? How could we follow you?
Yes, it is literally just my name, Bailey Kinch. Nothing too
Easy
fancy
peasy.
here.
There we go. For the podcast, we're all over social media too, on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at The Trade Hour Podcast. You can, well, I was going to say you could send me questions and comments about what you think is going to happen, but I probably will have recorded the final episode by the time you send me those. However, what I may do, and I have done in many seasons before, is have a separate episode after the finale just to respond to all of the listener questions and thoughts and things you want us to talk about. So send them my way, and if there are enough comments and questions, we'll just do a whole episode all about what you guys think. You can email me as well for that. So thetradearpodcast@gmail.com, send me a message, or do what Jane did and what Jackson did, leave me a voice note. You can send a voice note on Instagram, you can send it in a DM, or you could visit memo.fm/thetradearpodcast and just record your thoughts, record your question, we'll play it, we'll answer it. A couple of other reminders. I am hosting an online traitors game in August, so a little while away from now. It's August the 23rd. It will be at 7 p.m. New Zealand time. So anyone in New Zealand, come on. Cast, I know a lot of the cast are listening to the pod. Just send me a message if you want to play. Like, I'll reserve you a spot. Like, people would be very excited to get to play with any of the cast members this season. So, send me a message if you want to join us Sunday, August 23rd. And a couple of ways you can support the podcast, you could visit thetradar.redbubble.com, where there's all sorts of wonderful merchandise, like my lovely t-shirt. And some people have been buying some things recently. There's like notepads and mugs and hats, and it's very cool to see people buying things because it just helps me keep the podcast going and do all the things that I need to do to make the podcast happen. And you could visit ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/Matthew Keeley. And sometimes people, if they can, chip in a little donation as a one-off to help me out. So thank you so much to everybody who's done that. Really, really appreciate it. I actually do have another listener voice note and a question about something. But before that, Bailey, you don't know what's going to happen in the finale. Let's talk about the
No.
murders. Who do you think will be murdered for the final time?
I think it's going to be Violet.
Okay.
And I think they're going to take the risk of that coming back on Chloe. And they're just going to try their best and just go for it and go ham. I think they've both got, the charisma, the zest to, and the smarts to kind of like fight it out. So that's where I think they're going.
That's my prediction as well. I am saying this, no, I have seen the finale at this point. So I wrote down my honest predictions here. You can trust me or not, before I'd seen it. So before I knew anything, I wrote my prediction for murder as Violet as well. So I was in agreement with you. My winners that I predicted before I'd seen any further, I was predicting a faithful win. So I've got Maruya, Debbie, and Aaron. That's what I was thinking at the end of this episode. How do you think it's going to end, Bailey? What is it, traitors? Is
Yay.
it faithful? Who's it going to be?
Okay, this is how I've put it. Violet's getting murdered. Then they're gonna banish Keanu. Then they're gonna take Chloe out in the end game. And then it will be a faithful win of the same Maruya, Aaron, and Debbie.
Okay, we're
That is my
thinking the
thoughts.
same. Right.
Yeah, that's what I think will happen. But we'll
There we
see.
go. And we had Stephen at the start of the pod. Stephen predicted Chloe was going to win as a traitor. We had our voice note from Jackson. Jackson reckoned it was going to be a faithful win, reminded him of another season. I've got final voice note and a question from a listener in an email that are both about the same thing that I thought we could close by talking about, Bailey. It's all about the missions. So I've got a voice note from Alan. Alan has sent us his thoughts. Here we go.
Hello, guys. Alan from very hot, very sunny Scotland here today. Now, previously, I had complimented some of the missions on this season of The Traitors. However, let's cast our mind back to episode 7, which might be the worst mission we've seen in The Traitors, full stop. Now, I've seen 22 seasons of The Traitors so far, and I think this might be the worst. Why is this? Well, we've had missions like this in the past where players shoot at targets with other players' names on to stop them from getting shields. This usually creates a bit of drama. People don't like getting their shields taken away from them, but that element wasn't present here. And usually, other players look on and react. So even as a viewer in this mission, because the players were throwing by themselves, we didn't even get that element, leaving it to poor Madeline to try and pull the mission together and give us some excitement behind it. I mean, guys, this was grim. It's unfortunate, but I was wondering, can you guys think of any worse missions in The Traitors? Because I personally can't. A close runner-up might be those spot the difference ones that they have, where they go into a room and the things change around. But really, I think this one might be the worst of all. Anyway, enjoying the season, looking forward to the finale. I really hope Keanu can make it to the end. I've really enjoyed his game. It's a shame that him and James didn't work out in the end. Bit of a self blunder there by James, unfortunate. But I think Keanu's going to struggle with the heat that he's starting to get. But I hope he does come through because he's been a very entertaining traitor. Hope he makes it all the way to the end. Also, I think it was a big mistake to get rid of Sam. So we'll see whether that causes him issues later. All right, cheers, guys. Enjoy the pod as ever. See you later.
Thanks, Alan. So, Bailey, I'm sort of putting you on the spot here, but any missions that stand out to you as disappointing, maybe even one of the ones that you took part in, are there any that you have not been too
Yes.
impressed with?
The very first one of season two, that of my season, the very first challenge, I was so disappointed at the end. I was like, is this what they're all gonna be like? So I don't know if you remember, but it was we were in groups. We got a riddle to solve that would give us a location around the manor, and then we'd find a piece of a doll, and then we'd take that piece back to Paul in the manor. And then, like, three people out of 22 of us got to go upstairs and find the doll to put the pieces back in, I think, is what it was. I just remember, like, you read the clue and you're like, okay, well, this is down there. And my one was like the shrine that we'd driven up and down past the driveway like three times. I was like, easy. Went and got the piece. And then the whole second part of it was all of us just standing at the bottom of the stairs. I was like, this is so boring. And then it's obviously like, guys, the time's counting down. You've got to cheer for your teammates. So then we're all just like, woo! We couldn't see them. We couldn't hear what was happening. It was so mundane. And so I was like, no, surely not. So I was really happy when the challenges from then on kind of stepped up.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the one that springs to my mind. What are you thinking
I
of?
do remember that, and it sort of hadn't occurred to me that most of you were just waiting at the bottom of the stairs, like, well, I hope they succeed.
Hope they do it.
So yes, that makes sense. Alan, I'm struggling. I sort of everything just all blends together in my memory. But I actually the stone throwing at the names on the urns, Magicka and I made fun of it a little bit on the pod. I didn't really mind it that much. Like, it didn't bother me. It just maybe could have had more than just hit this one and you win some money, hit this one and you win a shield. Maybe there could have been more exciting things that you could hit and change. I think any mission where it looks much more exciting for the players than it does to watch on a TV screen. Like, sometimes if you can't really tell what's going on, or you can't really get involved. Like,
Yeah.
I thought this might be controversial because they use it so often in the Traitors. They use it, I think, on every single international season. It's the laser mission where they have to pick up the art or the statue and climb through the lasers. Although it's like, at first it's quite cool and you're like, oh, lasers, climb through the lasers. It's like a movie. Actually, I always, after a few minutes, think, I can't really tell if they're going to hit a laser or not. Like, I feel like it doesn't translate on TV very well, like the sort of
That's a good
3D
point.
nature of it. And I'm like, sometimes they hit a laser and the alarms go off, and I'm like, I didn't see them do that. Or like, I can't really imagine how easy or difficult this is, because some of them seem good at it and some of them don't. I don't. And it's quite repetitive as well. So I'm just sort of like, I don't really feel like I can imagine doing this through the TV. So I think those have lost the appeal for me. That's what I would say. Yeah.
That's a good one. I feel like maybe the Morning Ladies was the season's equivalent of lasers with the
Yes.
two just walking at the
You're right. You're right. It was
front.
like,
Maybe.
and more, almost like everyone except Maruya completed it. So I was like, oh, it was probably quite easy.
Yeah.
Probably not that difficult.
Yeah,
And
I
yeah,
feel
it
like
was
they
just
have to lose a bit
you
of
point at
money
this
for it to be
object.
hard.
That's Maria's hat. Okay, we've figured it out. Okay. Yeah, maybe I should go for this
Yeah.
one. I've got an email from Nari about episode 8. It's also about the mission. So Nari says, in episode 8, the dinner dagger mission was a bit odd to me. So it was when they all sat around the table and you put blindfolds on and you pick who's the most trustworthy or whatever. They get guns on them. Production chose who would answer the questions, although they say in the episode they were randomly picked. Whoever got chosen and did the pointing had no mission risk. For example, Keanu got his answer correct, but Maruya stayed in the game. As much as I love Maruya, I feel like she should have been made to leave. So, like, maybe it should have been, if you guess
True.
correctly, it's the person who chose the answer who has to leave the table. Basically, if you got chosen by a player, you got gunked, had to answer an uncomfortable question, and then leave, whether you got the answer right or wrong. Basically, to stay in the game, you had to avoid being the answer to someone's question. No strategy. Strange. I like the concept of the uncomfortable questions and guessing, but I think maybe they need to tweak the mission a bit. Anyways, I'm rooting for Maria and Maruya. Well, by this point, half of that hasn't worked out. Sorry, Nari. And Keanu's been so entertaining and a very fun traitor to watch. He's outstanding TV. Here's hoping we have an entertaining and satisfying end to the season. So, yeah, that makes sense to me, Nari, actually, that mission did feel a bit unfair. Like, if you got picked by someone, you were out. Like, there wasn't really any chance for it. The only strategy was if you were allowed to ask. Do like you were the person tapped on the shoulder and you got to take your blindfold off. You maybe do what James did. You don't really answer the question. You just pick the person you want rid of. But that's for most of the people sitting at the table, you can't do anything about it. So yeah, maybe it was needs a bit of tweaking. I think you're right. I will be back, of course, to talk about the finale very soon. It's very exciting. Bailey, thank you so much for joining me to talk about episode 9. It's been absolutely brilliant. And like I said, you're just the perfect person to have on to talk about for this episode and to share all of your insight with us. It's been so much fun. I hope it's been enjoyable to talk about this episode.
Oh my gosh, it has been. Thank you so much for having me. It's been so long that I've had a chance to chat trader stuff. So it's been really
Yes.
fun. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, listeners. Be back soon. Until then, laters, traitors.